There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I'm going to be talking about something that some women say, which is that the guy should just be happy with what he gets in bed. And we'll talk about the origin of this and why it's stupid and... whatever, after I tell you to subscribe, because I have 150 subscriber episodes and they're all awesome. One of them talks about oral sex on women, and then there's 149 others that you'll care about less. If you're a woman, that one is actually pretty good too, because it stops him from thinking he's like some kind of sex god just because he wants to do that for 2 seconds or for like 45 minutes in the wrong way or whatever. But there's also many, many other good episodes. So I am kidding, of course. I don't only talk about that because that would be like super boring. Okay, so point being, a lot of women say, and men tell me that the women say, that because they have a low sex drive, the man should be happy with what they get, right? So this, at first, is like, sounds like an extension of what I say, no free lunch, right? Nothing can be perfect. Like, your life is not supposed to be a bunch of fucking unicorns frolicking in a meadow. It's just not. But then when you, like, go a little bit closer, you're like, oh, all right, he should be happy with what he gets. All right, cool. You know, you get what you get and you don't get upset, you know? Like in the book Ladybug Girl, color a picture book that I used to read to my children, makes a lot of sense. You get what you get. You don't get upset is a good way to live, right? Because then you're not an entitled asshole. But what is the guy getting? Well, he's getting, you know, her laying there, sometimes saying, are you done yet? Sometimes saying, just stick it in for a few minutes. I can't deal. I'm tired. Just like literally like these like kind of like tragic scenarios where like he's supposed to like kind of get himself ready, like basically become a necrophiliac for 5 minutes, and then insult to injury, he's supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be happy with what you get. Now that's crazy, right? I mean, I could say, and I do say to my kids, you get what you get for dinner. I make one dinner, right? But then I don't try to make dinner shit, you know? I mean, like you don't like, okay, I try to make a good dinner, you know, like, so it's not. And of course they do have two other meals where they do have some more say in what they eat. Right. The guy, it's like as though you say you get what you get for dinner to your kids. And then you make them like a piece of bread and water, like jail rations, like that they're not going to be happy with. So it's kind of a crazy making scenario. Or I could see not reading your kid 20 books before bedtime, you know, but what if you said, I'm not going to read you any books. I'm just going to read you this sentence. Every night we're going to read another sentence of this book. And maybe by the time, you know, you graduate college, we'll finish this book. That is not normal, right? That's not usual. So if you're going to tell somebody that they should be happy with what they get, you should be trying to make them to make it good. And so then, of course, the woman says, but I'm not in the mood. And so isn't this better than nothing? No, it isn't, honestly, because it's basically a sexless marriage where he gets to masturbate into your body. That is still a sexless marriage, kind of, because it has no intimacy. So the word, you know, as I've taught you over and over, the way that people with a physical touch love language, which is most men and many women too, but not as many as men, feel that they're married or feel like they're in love or feel like this is a romantic marriage versus roommate is intimacy, physical and emotional intimacy. There's no way to be intimate with somebody that is basically saying, just use my body for a few minutes, you pervert, and then we could be done with this operation. That is not sex. That isn't. It is, I guess it is consensual, but it is not really. It's certainly legally consensual, but you know, it's not, this is the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law times a million, right? So if you, but what about on the other side of the spectrum? There are women, many women, most women within monogamy, their sex drive drops, right? But they can get aroused, right? And I talk about this as responsive desire. I certainly didn't make that up. But it is known as responsive desire as contrasted with spontaneous arousal when you are, quote, horny, right? That doesn't happen to many women except when they're ovulating. I had a little podcast come out. There's a honeymoon stage every month that talks about how women feel during the drunken days of pre and ovulation and right before ovulation. That's a paid podcast, came out today, the day that I'm recording this podcast. So look for it on It was the January 21st episode. So go back if you want to learn all about how women feel drunk on new love, tiny little honeymoon stage during ovulation every month. Anywho, so some women are like, yeah, I don't want to do all this crazy shit because honestly, you can refer back to my Why Blowjobs Fall Off in Marriage podcast. Honestly, you know, he's older now. Blowjob takes a while. If I do it to completion, we're not going to have sex that day because his refractory period doesn't allow anymore. And I'm fucking tired, like, all the time. And basically, what I want to do is lay there with some foreplay back and forth. We touch each other. You know, maybe there is a little oral, but the main event is intercourse most of the time. We are kissing. We're making out. I don't tell him I hate him. I don't tell him to get it over with. I make some noises indicating that I like it. Maybe we do 2 to 3 positions. Maybe we do 1 to 2 positions on the regular. But then on the off regular, on every few weeks or when I'm ovulating, we do different positions sometimes. And I generally have a positive attitude about it, except I just don't fucking feel like a porn star anymore. And that's it. You know, shouldn't he be happy with that? We do it a few times a week. I come every time, so does he. We kiss. Yes, then I say, yes, he should, you know? Then I say, yes, you got a point. You do. You got a point with that one. You got a point. You have loving relations multiple times a week. You seem to be into it. So you like the same thing most of the time because that's what works, give you an orgasm. Then you're like the majority of women. But you're sometimes willing to switch it up, like the majority of women. And when you go away on vacation, maybe it gets a little crazier. Or when the kids are out at sleepovers and you don't have them sleeping right next to you, sharing a wall on the other side. Okay, that is normal. That's a normal sex life. Because sometimes people don't know what a normal sex life is. They think that, you know, as I had this podcast, I said, are normal married people having sex on the kitchen table? No, what? You know, what are you even talking about? No, we don't have sex anywhere but the places that the kids can't possibly find you, even if they're not in the house, usually, unless people had a few drinks and they decide to get crazy, but, or don't have a few drinks and decide to get crazy. The point is that the crazy stuff within a normal marriage is unusual, you know? It's the crazy stuff. It's the stuff we do sometimes, and usually you're doing something that's more by rote. But both people tend to enjoy it. Both people orgasm. Both people are hugging and kissing. Both people love each other. Both people touch each other. That is a married sex life. That is what I say, yeah, he should be happy with that. And if he's not happy with that, then frequently, 9 times out of 10 when I look in at it, he's using a lot of porn, really. Meaning like daily or near daily porn, bombarding his brain with images of women who will do anything at any time. And he even looks up married women sometimes to really tell himself that he's just looking to make sure that other women do the stuff he wants. Married women who are doing amateur porn are, A, you don't even know if they're married women, and B, like, come on, man, you know? Like, this would be like if she was looking at the bodybuilder competitions for how, like, your 45-year-old ass is supposed to look after going to the gym for 2 weeks. Like, no way. What are you talking about? But point being, either there's a lot of porn use, right? Or the guy was a late bloomer and he didn't sleep with anybody before her, so he's trying to make her into his personal porn star. And that's not fair either, right? So then, or he conflates her sexual desire with some sort of attraction to him because he's super obsessed with her preoccupied attachment, which means it's not really about her. He would be obsessed with any woman that he was with, and she knows it. She could pick up on that one a mile away, and he's got a lot of insecurity to work through. Is it, and then guys could get up in arms, oh my God, so you're telling me it's not normal to want my sex life to be more exciting? Sure it is. It's also normal for her to wish that you were a millionaire or a billionaire, right? Or that you were, you know, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Like, maybe she wants you to be 3 inches taller. Maybe she wants you to be more confident. I mean, everybody isn't everything. So at a certain point, we have to, you know, say, is my sex life good enough? And most people say yes. In fact, I just looked this up for a discussion in Secret Group, and over half, 50 to 60% of married men are happy with their sex lives. So, you know, I mean, like, what does that concord with? Does anybody know for bonus credit? For bonus credit, that's around who's securely attached. Sexual satisfaction is a proxy variable for secure attachment. Most human beings that grew up in happy homes and who are securely attached do not go around bitching and moaning about their sex life, unless there's some complete fall off that they were unaware of. So I get some guys who are happily married for years and years. They had no goddamn idea about menopause at all. Neither did the woman. Nobody talks about anything. And then she has menopause and she like experiences no desire, vaginal pain, her entire body and brain change. And she's like, I don't want sex anymore. And then, yeah, he's upset, right? And so they go to a sex therapist and she understands, oh, I guess, you know, that isn't fair. And this is this and this is that. And maybe I'll get some estrogen cream, but sex will never be like it used to be. But then they could still, you know, do something kind of that is okay. That would be a normal, healthy reaction to menopause, by the way, in a securely attached couple, which in and of itself may be worth the free price of admission to this podcast. But so for healthy, happy human beings, they don't sit there perseverating about the number of times per week that they have sex. It's people in insecurely attached relationships, primarily the pursuer with the distancer or too fearful avoidance, right? Who tend to have very hot sex at the beginning and then, you know, everything goes to shit. But the point being, most human beings do not sit there and perseverate over and over about they wish that their wife would do anal. You know, I mean, because they're not flooding their brain with images of people doing anal all the time. So, you know, I say this all the time, and this was in my podcast about why women don't respect preoccupied attachment men, which could be your wake-up call if you are a preoccupied attachment man to get your ass into therapy and first to listen to everything that I've recorded on preoccupied attachment. But the real reason is like, so if you're sitting there 24/7 looking at porn about anal sex and wishing your wife would do anal sex on a regular Monday night, then what aren't you doing? You're not focusing on your kids. You're not focusing on your career. You're not fully present because you're obsessing about this in your mind like all the time. Like, why don't you try to do something in the world, right, that would add value? Why don't you not just this shit where you go and work out? Working out is fine. That's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to do for your body, your brain, and everything. But it could go beyond that. Like, what is your meaning? What is your value in this world? Most people get that through career, through service, right? Through figuring out how they could add value in the universe, how they could, you know, leave a mark on the world. What's their legacy going to be? Do you want it to say on your gravestone, my wife did anal? She did it 25% more of the time than she would have if I wasn't, up her ass about it all the time, making her guilty about it? No, that's really not what most people would want on their tombstone. You know, they would want a leader of men, like, you know, grew his business, employed all these people, or, you know, was an excellent teacher, was an excellent mentor, or, you know, created XYZ thing in the universe, was well respected and loved, you know? Like, it's not like, so when people perseverate on just sex as their meaning for life, that usually speaks to a deep, deep insecurity. And low self-esteem. And you can, that's at any age. That's a boy who's 16 that thinks constantly, like the incel crowd, involuntary celibate is what that stands for. And that was a name that they came up. The people like that came up with that name, incel. But anyway, those are boys, young boys, adolescents and young 20s boys who think that everything is terrible because they're not getting laid. And then you see it in men who are married, men who do get laid, still have that mentality. If they didn't, you know, work on low self-esteem early enough, then they are a late bloomer. Then they get married, but they're still kind of have that feeling of being like a young boy that doesn't get what everybody else is getting. And then that's the flavor of the sex life, is that his wife is supposed to make up for everything in the universe and she never can. So obviously that is going to be upsetting to her and it's going to push her away from him. So there really are no securely attached people that are having constant fights about sex. Like, it's just not a thing. It's one part of your life. So it's an important part, and you should certainly be talking about it in therapy if you're in therapy, but it is a part. It is a proxy variable. It's a stand-in. It's a representation of other things underneath that are not as good. I have plenty of podcasts about this that people have literally written to me were epiphanies for them, such as sex is not about sex. And you could probably get laid one more time per week if you tried hard enough, but it wouldn't change anything. These things are important, you know, like these ideas are very important to for people to hear. If you are having a loving sex life with a woman who is generally just not in the honeymoon stage anymore, but she loves you, she touches you, she hugs you, and sex is a little bit not like porn as much as maybe you would want, why don't you think about what in her life isn't as perfect as she would want? You know, maybe instead of having a bi-weekly house cleaner, she would want to have a maid follow her around all the time. Wouldn't that sound nice? Sure. Is she going to get that? No. If she's like a healthy human being, is she going to sit there and focus on every single thing in her life that could be easier or more convenient or better, better speak to her base needs of not wanting to do anything, you know, normal in the world? You know, like, does she up your ass that she doesn't have a chauffeur drive her around? No, probably not. You know, and if she does, then you're two people that are grappling with what reality is. Two people that probably did not get your needs met as kids and now have fantasies of unlimited power or ideal love. Do you know what that is, by the way? That's a criterion from the DSM definition of narcissistic personality disorder. So I'm not diagnosing, certainly. But if you're obsessed with your sex life not being good enough, you might look up the other criterion of narcissistic personality and see what fits and see what resonates. Because when people grow up, by the way, with self-absorbed parents, sometimes they become a little more self-absorbed than they realize. And a lot of times with men, they perseverate on their sex life having to be perfect because everything that they want in their life is supposed to be perfect and optimal. And when they're women, they focus on ideal romantic love. So it would be the same thing, right? So if a woman said to me, oh, it was Valentine's Day and he took me out to a restaurant and he got me a necklace and he told me he loved me. But you know what? The card, I don't know. I don't know. It wasn't really very poetic. I'd be like, what in the fuck, right? Like, do you hear what you're saying? When did you learn how to think like this? Was your mother always unhappy with your father? Who was always unhappy with you? What kind of a dynamic you're going to teach your children? I mean, my clients can vouch for this. Like, you know, like, I mean, I might be like, yeah, it's not poetic. But then, unless the guy's a douchebag otherwise, I would be like, what are you doing? Like, though, isn't this, like, good? Isn't this good? Isn't this what we're working on? Like, what is still going on? What part of this is a you issue? Do you need to be doing deeper work on why you're never happy? Right? So I would say it to women in the romantic realm. And so then I say it to men in the sexual realm. Assuming that it's the sexual equivalent of, yeah, he did do something nice for Valentine's Day. Yeah, she does try in bed. A little bit, you know, as much as she can. But it's like still way better than these people I hear about whose wife won't even look at them, who won't even touch them, who says basically get it done with. Well, yeah, my wife, because like a lot of guys would be like, wait, I thought my sex life was bad, but then I hear some of your podcasts and it makes me feel like, holy shit, I'm living the dream, which is some of the reason that I do verbalize some of this range of human behavior. So if you're not in a sexless marriage or you're not in a marriage where your wife refuses basically to like hug or kiss you or touch you or listen to anything that you think is important about the relationship, including sex, and basically doesn't respect you or love you at all, you know, then you could be like, wow, maybe I don't have shit to complain about. Maybe most women aren't, you know, getting the whips and chains ready after the kids go down on a Tuesday night, you know, like maybe that's just not a normal ask. Maybe I should stop watching the porn, you know, or go into therapy and think about why I'm never happy. All right. I hope this episode was a wake-up call for some of you, and I will talk to everybody soon. Have a great day, guys.